You know what? We all have our 15 minutes of fame, and I'd like to take a couple of my 15 minutes to talk about the rights and the wrongs in the world of professional wrestling.
This match is for the ECW World Heavyweight Championship!
For the AWA World Heavyweight Wrestling Championship.
It's commonplace for me to speak about and to beautiful young women on the wrestling industry on this show, but today I'm going to get to do something I don't do quite that often, that's talk to a legitimate model as well. Today I have a combination of the two in Natalie Monet, a curvaceous, and some would say plus size young woman who's admittedly battled with body image issues. And at this point, at least I hope so. We're going to talk about that. And we're also going to talk about her time growing up through the modeling industry and what in the world made her decide to leave that for the crazy world of pro wrestling. That and some more. We talk to Natalie Monet.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I am good, thank you.
Now, have you, now that you're in wrestling, you know you have to have some version of a nickname or moniker that you carry. Have you knighted yourself at one of these yet? Have you given yourself some title that you get to carry around yet?
I don't know if it really counts as a nickname, but the guys in the locker room, they call me Natty now. I don't know if that means anything, but you know, we just go by my real name as my wrestling name, so they just call me Natty around there.
Well, you know, you got to have something, you know. You come from the industry where people went by names like Nature Boy and American Dream.
No. You're still working on it.
Still working on it?
I mean, we can always go with the Amazon, but, you know, everybody gets called the Amazon.
We're going to go with Big Sexy. Big Sexy Natalie Monet.
Or in Spanish they say Grandota. That means big, sexy, too.
Okay, say that again.
It's Grandota.
Okay, well, you know what? You need to just get that out there.
If you can roll your R's, if you can pronounce it.
I can't roll. I'm going to butcher that, so I can't. So I have to stick with big, sexy. I'm just going to let you translate it.
Okay.
There we go. So now we're going to push forward, and we're going to cover a lot of ground because, you know, when people Google you, it's not all just pro wrestling.
Uh-huh.
You got quite a variety that's underneath you. So we got to start from the beginning and just work our way to the top. Where are you from originally?
I was born in Hartford, Connecticut, but I consider Lebanon, Pennsylvania home.
Ah, okay. That's a very smart answer. You know, you don't offend anybody that way.
Yeah.
I just cover them both.
You
said you, I don't want to say you were called Amazon, but you kind of alluded that moniker might have been utilized or maybe thought about it. How tall are you?
I'm 5'10".
5'10". So, you know, when I saw a picture, you kind of like towered over this guy that she was in the ring with. So I was like, either she's tall or this dude is like short or something. So you got to have the
Amazon combination of both. They're short and I'm tall.
Well, that works. And that gives you some ominous presence that you get with. Does that work in your favor?
Sometimes, yeah.
Most of the times?
Yeah.
Now, you're not intimidating these guys because it seems like you work with a lot of guys as of right now.
Yeah, as of right now, I've been mostly working with a lot of guys. And, sometimes I just intimidate them a little bit, smack them around, and then they're like, oh, wait, I'm a guy. I got to be powerful.
You can't bruise the ego like that. You do realize that is damaging to the male ego.
I hate egos. I don't like egos at all.
Oh.
So if they have an ego, then I got to, you know, bring that down a notch.
You got to knock it down. So that is your purpose. Nickname number two, Ego Buster, Natalie Monet.
Yep.
I'm firing them out. just as soon as I think of him, just going to put him out there. We're going to go to, I guess, a serious point of your past for just a second. Mm-hmm. At some point, you alluded to in one of your pictures that you had body issues. And assuming, you know, that came from, I guess, the people that you were around, perhaps some people who said some things to you and things like that. Now, is this something that you care to talk about?
Oh, yeah. I don't have a problem with it. I think it's important for the women that are listening to know that, you know, they're not the only ones that have these issues. Everybody's normal and they have these issues, male or female.
Okay. So where do you think these issues stemmed from initially?
In elementary school to about halfway through middle school, I was bullied. So, you know, a lot of it came from there. And when I was younger, I wasn't the skinniest child. So, you know, that all came from elementary school.
Ah, okay. So the old term is that kids can be cruel, and I'm assuming that this is something that you kind of live through. And I know a lot of people, or at least the ones that are on the giving end of it, do not understand what kind of lasting effects those things can have on a person. But it does appear that you've gotten past it.
Yeah, definitely. Sorry. So when I moved to Pennsylvania, I moved to Pennsylvania, I'm sorry?
I say it's fine.
Oh, so when I moved to Pennsylvania, the town that I grew up in, there was not a lot of Hispanic or black people that I went to school with, mostly, you know, the preppy white kids.
Ah.
And a lot of them looked like the models that you see in like the Abercrombie and Fitch, you know, catalog. So I spent my whole time growing up thinking I had to look like them because I didn't have anybody else that looked like me. But it wasn't until after high school where the real world, and it's like, oh, I'm not supposed to look like that. So after high school, you know, I got a little bit better.
Okay. So it kind of took you from getting not away from a sheltered environment, but a very enclosed environment. You need to kind of experience the world at large to realize that it's more to it than just this.
Yeah, because my town was like a mile long, so there's not really much going on there.
Well, you know, it's kind of good that you bring that up. That you know, that kind of body imaging or positive reinforcement is what a lot of people have said. You know.
Yeah.
Needing that kind of positive reinforcement in TV and in sports and magazines, you know, you name it, to have some sort of representation of who you are out there does help your personality, your you know, confidence and everything growing up. Has that been part of your drive to do what you have begun to do?
Definitely. I wasn't allowed to watch wrestling because my mother's a priest. My mom's a pastor, so I wasn't allowed to watch wrestling because I grew up in the Attitude Era, so that was not allowed. But yeah, the little that I did get to sneak, I would see like Bull Nakano or like Aja Kong, and I was like, oh, there is somebody there. But then like, when I, you know, my mother wasn't so strict anymore and I started watching a little bit, then, the divas were like all the model types. I was like, oh, man, I can't do this. Like, there's nobody there that looks like me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I guess that would kind of derail somebody. And having heard, I guess, the talent coordinator at the time, Jim Ross, talk about it on a couple of occasions, unfortunately, it's very true that it's unlikely that anybody that did not fit that mold at that time would have ever been hired.
Yeah.
His marching orders, as he said, out of his mouth were to hire athletic tens. You know, in their view, that, you know, all due respect to a Michelle McCool, but that's basically what they were looking for, the Trish Stratus, Michelle McCool, so on and so forth. But somewhere you got some inspiration from somebody because, you know, you're there, you're doing it now. So
yeah.
Was there anyone else that you saw? Because I mean, I can think of maybe one or two right now that certainly do not fit the average mold. But did you personally see somebody that you gravitated towards?
And then Awesome Kong / Karma comes along, and I'm like, yes, that chick right there.
Oh, okay. So was it just the size or the fact that she was able to beat up people, or both?
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both. You had some stuff that you wanted to work out, wanted to smack some people around?
I mean, it was a very sheltered child, so I had some oppression to let go of.
Ah, okay. So that would explain these boxing sessions and the bar training that you go through. That might explain a lot.
A little bit.
That works in your favor. Where do you train? Or who trained you, I should say?
For wrestling?
Yes.
I train at Warriors of Wrestling in Staten Island.
Okay. Now, we're gonna rewind this just a tad bit past the wrestling phase, because if someone Googles you, as I said earlier,
mm-hmm.
you're very likely to see more modeling photos than wrestling.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about this modeling thing.
Okay.
How on earth, you know, because it sounds like you really enjoy and that you gravitated towards wrestling, but somewhere along the line, we took a left turn and went off into modeling. How did that happen?
I've been modeling for about, I used to model for like about, I did it for like over 5 years, a little bit over 5 years. Mm-hmm. And so a couple, maybe 3 years ago, I started boxing. And I was still modeling at the time. So I was doing the boxing as a workout. And then I just was growing more confidence inside the ring. And I loved being inside the ring. And I had taken a break from modeling. And then when I was trying to come back to modeling, I was still doing the boxing. I was trying to figure out how I can do both. And I was like, oh, let me, you know what? I can just wrestle. I can do that. So I can save my face. So I was trying to do both. And then I was trying to, when I was trying to come back to my old agency, I called the agent saying, hey, you know, I want to come back. I'm ready to come back. And I was talking to her secretary. So her secretary, she was like, okay, hold on. Let me get this person on the line. And she thought she put me on hold, but I heard my old agent say, tell her I'm not here. So I was like, okay, all right, it's time to do the wrestling thing, time to leave the modeling. You know, all the signs were coming to an end. So everything was pointing to wrestling.
Ooh, that's kind of harsh, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I guess that is the cold reality of the entertainment industry in general.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if it's acting, modeling, wrestling, anything that's entertainment. It's cold.
Yeah, that is. So let that be a lesson to agents and managers out there. If you're gonna do a move such as that, at least have the courtesy to put the phone on mute.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I might know that you put me to the side, but I don't need to hear it.
I know. Yeah, because like they were, you know, it's one thing to ignore emails and ignore phone calls, but to actually hear that person say, tell them I'm not here, it was like, oh, okay, that's a sign, I'm going to go.
Well, but that worked out as a positive for you.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Because you're in something that you clearly have a passion for.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, you know, I don't know if you said your mom's a pastor, I don't know if she is a big fan of you in the ring at this point, but you know, hey.
So the first show that I did was for Valkyrie, and this was like almost a year ago. And during the show, so I'm coming out with I'm like the bodyguard type for like La Rosa Negra. Mm-hmm. So there was a spot where I had to do a suicide dive, and when we did the suicide dive, it was right in front of my mother, and the people that were supposed to catch me didn't. And that was like the worst thing. I just heard it like on the way home. She was like, I don't know why you're doing this. Are you getting hurt already? Blah, blah, blah. And, but you know, she finally got over it. So it's okay now.
But did you get over it? I'm sure you did. I'm teasing, but.
Oh yeah, I was fine. I was like, okay, let's do this again. Let's go.
Yeah, but they're supposed to catch you. They're supposed to catch you. Did you hit any mats, or was it just concrete? Oh, well, I shouldn't say concrete. Was it just floor?
There was some padding.
Okay, just a little bit of padding. Didn't help much.
Nope.
And that's for the fans out there that always just say, oh, wrestling doesn't hurt.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Moments like these, yes, can be quite painful. So back to the pre-wrestling days, because I didn't get this one portion. How did you go in? How did you skip wrestling initially and just start off into modeling? Now, I know how you transitioned out of modeling into wrestling, but how did you go from I have body issues, I'm not sure about myself, to I'm going to do something that that basically exposes me to the world and modeling? I mean, because much like wrestling, you have made yourself an open book in that industry.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe more so because you're probably wearing less. So how do you go from I'm kind of shy and I don't know, maybe shy, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you know, how do you go from, you know, I'm not what these other people are, or that is the image of beauty, to I'm going to do something that defines beauty to everybody? How does that happen?
So I started the modeling because I had, I always wanted to do like the acting and the whole modeling thing, but of course, you know, going back to not fitting a certain mold. And then I saw this model, her name is, Crystal Ren. She used to be a plus size model. I saw her on Oprah and I was like, oh, this is a whole other world I have no idea about. And like I told you before, I became a model so I didn't have to talk. So my drama teacher in high school scarred me for life. So I was like, I'm not going to act. I'm just going to model. I can do my thing and not talk. So, I started, you know, just getting local photographers, practicing and doing everything with my face, but not with my mouth. So I didn't have to say anything. So, you know, it just came on that. And then, there's a company called Torrid. They had a modeling search and out of thousands of girls, they picked like 7 of us, flew us to LA. We had a runway show, and then the rest of it is history.
Okay. That's excellent. Now, you know I'm going to ask, because you just said it in the course of your explanation there. You were scarred for life from acting. What did this drama teacher do that made this decision to never speak? And I'm glad that you broke it to do this interview. But what did he do, he or she, to make you feel this way?
He was just my drama teacher, who was also my chorus teacher. He never had any facial expressions, was just quiet and cold the whole time. And the only time he opened his mouth was to say something negative. So, you know, trying out for musicals and trying out for things with theater, and then having him to be my drama teacher, I was like, oh no. I was like, I'm just going to not say anything.
Okay. So, you know, that does sound like that might have been more him.
Yeah.
You know,
definitely.
Maybe he just was harboring a grudge that he didn't get to his spot that he wanted to go in life. I don't know. Because here you are now, and you are inside of a ring. And by proxy of being in wrestling, you're having to transition to being on camera. And you didn't look like you were nervous when the mic was handed over to you and you had to cut your promo within that. So, you know, it couldn't have been too bad of a scar, or at least I'm assuming that is, you're getting past that.
Well, see, I guess there's a difference between having the camera in front of me and being alone in the room with one other person, and then like public speaking. I'm like, ugh. So we got to get over the public speaking.
So which one is worse for you? Is it being public or doing the camera? Because I know some people are terrified of the camera. The camera doesn't bother me.
The camera doesn't say anything. The camera doesn't blink. It just stands there. Like if you know, public speaking, you have all eyes on you, and you can see people's expression if you suck or if you're doing a good job.
Okay. Well, I'm assuming that you're getting past that because you're walking out to the ring, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And although you cannot pay attention to them every second while you're working, you know, clearly you have to be in tune with whether they are, you know, in sync with what you're doing in the ring or not.
I'm getting used to having, you know, people looking and people reacting.
I'm going to guess that you, well, at least from what I saw, that you're primarily a heel at this point.
I'm a heel in Valkyrie, and then at Warriors, I'm a face.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Which do you prefer?
I'd rather be a heel.
You'd rather be a heel?
You'd
rather have people booing you after all of this stuff that you just talked about with acceptance and all that. You'd rather have people booing and catcalling and all this stuff.
I feel like that's who I truly am. I'm a heel. Even though I'll be the nicest person, but if you cross me, then that's it.
Okay. Now, is 2015 your in-ring debut year? Or did you get in before that?
Oh, you got cut off a little bit before that.
What year did you debut in the ring as a worker?
It was 2015, so... Last year, yeah.
Okay, so 2015 is the in-ring debut year for Natalie Monet. Mm-hmm. And has it only been these two promotions thus far? Or are you kind of spreading your wings, working your way out?
Hopefully this year will be, you know, be spreading my wings. I'm trying to, what I care about right now is just getting a lot of the technical things down and the fundamentals before, you know, I go anywhere else.
Okay. If you're going to describe if you're going to describe the style that you are looking to achieve, how would you describe it? Are you looking to be a technical wrestler? Is that what you kind of gravitate towards? Because, you know,
I mean,
the clips that I saw, sorry to cut you off, it seems as if the natural thing for you is power and just brutalizing.
Natural thing is just a smash.
Yeah, there you go. You need to use that.
Yeah, I want to be a powerhouse, but I want to be able to do more than just be a powerhouse. I don't, you know, I want people to be like, oh, you know, she's big. She's not going to be able to move like this. And then, you know, I have the agility and people are like, oh, this girl can move, you know?
Okay.
So it's kind of where the boxing comes in handy, you know? So when I go to get hit, I'm not just standing there. I move real quick and, you know, get out of the way.
Now, there's a distinct difference between throwing a punch in boxing, throwing a punch in wrestling.
Yeah, definitely.
Which some people haven't gotten, because boxing is kind of a short, succinct, efficient punch. I mean, if I could describe it that way, wrestling, you almost have to play it up big and huge and large, so everybody can see this punch that you're bringing from all the way to the back and nailing somebody across the jaw with.
Yeah, that was the first thing I learned. It's like you got to make everything bigger in wrestling.
Ah, especially with you doing the heel thing.
Yeah.
You bump a little harder. You take it, take everything a little bit more exaggerated. Now, typically, in my interviews, a part that I get to is where I say, you know, hey, you could be doing anything else in life. You know, you're a good-looking person. You could be modeling. You could be acting, so on and so forth. In your case, you've done it. And now, we've already discussed the reasons why you, or at least the catalyst as to why you got into the crazy world of pro wrestling. Has it met the hype for you so far? Look, I mean, because, you know, let's be honest, wrestling can be, you said it earlier, it's entertainment. It's the entertainment mm-hmm. industry, so, it, you know, much like anything else, it's got its good points, it's got its great points, it's got its lows, and it's got its terrible points. So has it so far for you within the time that you've been doing it, has it met up to the hype that you had in your mind?
Like as to what I thought, what it was?
Yes.
I don't know. I feel like it's only my first year and I only got like a handful of it, and there's a whole other side of it that I still haven't seen yet.
Okay. Now I ask that because I mean, I've seen some people that, for lack of a better term, have been burned by the business. You know, they got in thinking it was going to be something else, and were more or less picked apart until they quit.
And I think that was a, you know, I think that was a good thing that I went through the modeling first, because with the modeling, they took me apart there. My agents were like, you're too fat, you're too skinny, you're too this, you're too that, you know, and they picked me apart there. And I think I already had that thick skin to come into wrestling.
Okay. So the modeling, even though, it ended in a way that you may not have wanted, it did train you mentally. It prepared you, got the thicker skin to go into something that people can still do the same thing, kind of break you down just for the sake of breaking you down.
Yeah, because I've had guys that I would go to train, and some guys would, you know, just want to try to break me and, like, will hit me a little bit harder just to see me cry and, you know, just try to get me to quit.
Shame on them.
But I'm still here.
And you have no intentions of giving up.
No.
Very good. Very good. So you seem as if the talking thing is doing well. You come into a comfort zone. Listen to you.
That's good.
You're moving well now. And in wrestling, you have a little bit of acting in there. You ever thought about parlaying that?
Yeah. When the time comes to work on more promos and all that stuff, I just want to learn, soak up as much as I can. And I know, like, everyone's always looking for people who have mic skills. So I know I have. I know that's important in wrestling.
It is. So here's where you get the chance to work on that some right now.
Oh, man. Okay.
Well, wrestling is a very self-aggrandizing industry. You have, especially in the independents, you have to be able to sell yourself. So, for someone who's never seen Natalie Mole do her thing, describe her.
Describe Natalie Mole.
Describe Natalie Mole, the wrestler.
Of course.
That's right. Spotlight is on.
Natalie Mole is the most dominant woman so far in Warriors of Wrestling today. You're not going to see anybody else that's going to take on the women and kick the men's butt at the same time. You get to see me deal with both and be a powerhouse.
Okay. Now, you've also done something a little bit different. You in Valkyrie, you were the muscle. And almost, I don't know if, correct me if I'm wrong, but it almost seemed as if you were the muscle / businesswoman, something like that in there.
Yeah, because, so in Valkyrie, they have me, my title is La Secretaria de Defensa, which is the Secretary of Defense. But I just tell everybody I'm a bodyguard, just to make it easier.
Once you
throw in that Spanish title, they're like, oh, what is that? It's different. I'm like, yeah, I know.
That's right. You got to stick with that. It sounds better.
Yeah. And then it goes on to, oh, speak more Spanish. I'm like, oh, okay.
You have to use that. It sets you apart. See, I can only say Secretary of Defense. See, you can make it sound so much more, you know, broader and unique and elegant. So, now, along with that, with the portrayal of being the, quote, businesswoman, I'm going to use that also, are you trying to become as aware of the business end of wrestling as you can get? Not just the stuff in the ring, but, you know, the booking, the creative, so on and so forth.
Yeah, definitely. I want to get to know every aspect of wrestling, because I feel like it's important. And if you know what's going on backstage, then it helps with inside the ring.
Okay. Do you have any aspirations of perhaps being the one that's actually sitting there writing these things out, being part of the creative?
Maybe one day. I know when I was younger, I used to do a lot of creative writing and write little stories of my own, and I used to write for the paper. So I that would be great to go back. to that and just be involved with coming up with ideas and stories.
Yeah, okay, so promoters out there listening, that is a job opening. If you have one, give Ms. Monet a try. Now, are you aware that there's Anita Monet out here too?
I do. She, my first Valkyrie show, I met her. I was like, you took my last name. So.
Yeah, wrestling is crazy. Now, how that's going to work?
Yeah, I know. So I guess, that's the thing that's hard. It's like, I wanted to come into wrestling using my Spanish name, which is Natalia, but it's so similar to Natalia. So then I couldn't, and then I was like, oh, I can use Natalie Marie. And I'm like, oh, nope, Eva Marie. So it's so hard. So, we're just going to stick with my full name for now.
Like I said, that's why you need a moniker. You got to create something to stick on there so people can go with that. And that'll be the thing.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I gave you two at the beginning of the show. Maybe those won't work for you. I don't know if that's something that you can keep up.
I'll definitely keep them. I'll keep them in there in the list of names.
That's right. Keep that in your pocket. You never know.
Yeah, I will.
Now, what is your impression of the independents so far? I mean, I know you. It's only been Valkyrie and I can't remember the other one right now. Sorry, I'm drawing a blank.
Oh, it's Warriors.
Thank you, Warriors. Now, is there everything that you imagined so far, or is it just kind of this a case of what a lot of people look at it as? This is me paying my dues, and paying my dues in the route of, let's call it the upper level indies, your Ring of Honors, your Omegas, your WSU, mm-hmm. so on and so forth.
But so far everything's been great. The locker rooms have been really great. It's people that actually want to put on a good show, and then there's not too many egos. So far everything's been good.
All right. Are there any performers in the business today, either in the mainstreams or the indies, that currently inspire you? Now, you touched on one.
Karma. Awesome Kong.
That's right. You touched on one. Is there mm-hmm. anybody else that is out there like, I want to get to where they are or do what they're doing or, be as good as them or whatever?
The girls from NXT, they're amazing. I really like Sasha Banks, just the way that she can make anybody hate her and she makes little girls cry. Like, that's the kind of heel that I want to be. Like...
Don't make another girl cry.
No, and it was funny. A long time ago, I had gone to a WWE event, and me and my cousins were sitting there next to a little kid that was, like, just head to toe in Cena gear. And when John Cena comes out, we're the ones that are booing him, and the little kid next to us starts crying. And we just go harder, like, booing John Cena. And then I look over, and the little kid takes his John Cena headband off and starts wiping his tears away.
Oh.
So
terrible.
I felt bad after that a little bit.
A little?
A little bit.
You're supposed to do that when you're in the ring. I'm not supposed to get the kid while you're
this is, I'm a true heel. I need to be a heel.
Oh, okay, so we're going to have to work on your heel persona. We're going to get that defined before this interview is up, because you seem like you want to be the person that gets booed. So we're going to have to contact Warriors and say, look, she don't need to be no babysitter.
We'll get to that point.
You're going to get to that? Okay. All right. So the first thing that we got to do, is the promoters. Because, it's all business here. So,
yes.
If there are any promoters out there, now I don't know how far you're willing to travel at this point, but if there are any promoters that are looking to book you, how should they contact you for work?
I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. What else is there? Instagram, all under Natalie Monet. That's a really easy way to get a hold of me.
Okay, so
social media.
You're basically social media savvy. and you will take...
I wouldn't say savvy, because I really don't like social media, but it's so important nowadays. You have to stay relevant with the social media. So, I hate it, but, you know, I got to do it.
Okay. Well, that's different. Not savvy, don't really like it, but it's
it's important.
Okay. Well, okay, I'll go with that. Who's your toughest opponent so far?
So far, my toughest opponent has to be Nyla the Destroyer.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's someone that can match up with you with size and power.
Yeah, I went up against her a little bit at WrestleFest in October. I think it was October. Yeah, and we had a little scruffle. So, you know, hopefully some, you know, if the promoters are smart and they want to see two big women go at it, I think that would be a good rivalry.
Now, here's the question. You know, Nala, she's got a lot of different variations of who she is. Nala the Destroyer, mm-hmm. Native Beast. I mean, she's done Nala like the gangster as part of Bulletproof. I mean, she's kind of covered the gambit. You know, I'm pretty sure that she could adapt to your style, or maybe y'all could adapt to each other and just become a unit. Now, I'm not, you know.
Or that too. Yep, become a tag team.
Now, I don't know who exactly y'all would match up to, or if they would put in front of you to try to stop that, because, you know, two powerhouses in there might be a little rough for most of the other ladies on the card, but that could be interesting. Who knows?
Definitely.
So you might need to pitch that out there too. to fans that haven't had the opportunity to see you work, if you were going to say, look, watch this, and this match will give you a perfect idea of who I am, which match is that?
I would have to say any of my matches that I go up against Katrid, the Clockwork Angel. That definitely shows how I work in the ring and the powerhouse that I am.
Okay. And clearly you enjoy being the powerhouse.
Yeah, definitely. I like picking people up and throwing them.
the more I hear that, I'm thinking you having some anger issues in there. Wrestling.
Turn it off.
That out. Okay, I'll take your word on that now. Now, for someone that is going into wrestling, the rule of thumb that I've always heard is that you always get to learn when you're in the ring with people that are much better than you. So between the ropes, who have you learned the most from so far?
I've learned a lot from New York wrestlers, Jaka, TJ Marconi, Angel Ortiz. I've learned a lot from them. Joey Ace, didn't think of. Yeah, I learned a lot from them. There are a lot of veterans that have taught me a few things.
Okay. And it's all sticking to you. You got it all memorized, learn the psychology and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
How much of this do you take with you outside? Are you sleep, eating, and breathing, wrestling 24 hours a day? Do you go home and turn on the WWE Network and, you know, or watch DVDs and all that good stuff like that?
I'm trying to get to that point. I'm trying to get to the point where that's all I do. Because, you know, like I said, I wasn't allowed to watch wrestling when I was younger, so I'm trying to catch up with as much as I can of all the years that I've missed.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that's right. You've missed out on quite a bit. So,
yeah.
So do fans come up to you and ask you, hey, what do you think of so-and-so? You're like, who?
One thing that I've always told myself is, like, if you are going to go into an industry, make sure at least you know a little bit. So I know about, you know, I've made sure I watched, like, the Wars, the Monday Night Wars and all the documentaries. I just got to catch up on the WrestleManias and then we're good to go.
Okay. So, you know, I think I'm going to say it to any fans out there that may have any matches and or persons that you feel like she should watch, you should drop her a line and say, hey, you need to check this dude's workout or check her workout or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. Just tweet me and let me know what matches I should watch, and Basically anything, I think anything Aja Kong and Bull Nakano, I think I've gotten all caught up on.
Okay.
So, and I love Japanese wrestling, so if there's any matches from Japan, like, you know, just shoot me a tweet and let me know what I should watch.
Okay, so you, now is that one of your goals that you have set in front of you? We haven't talked about the wrestling goals, so let's jump into that. Would working in Japan or any particular Japanese promotion be considered one of the goals that you have in front of you?
Definitely.
Any place in particular, or just, you know, wherever I can get to? Because I know, I think Stardom's one.
Yeah, there's Stardom, there's Noah, New Japan. There's a couple of that I know of.
So any one of those would do? Stardom's the only one I know that I think is all female.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Diana, if I'm pronouncing it correct, because I think Ronnie Nicole is over there now as I speak. So, yeah, that another all-female kind of promotion. And, you know, I want to say they're looking for a Kong-esque type performer to kind of come over there and smack the girls around. So it could be right up your alley.
Yep, definitely. And I like the way the girls in Japan wrestle. Like, they go at it, and they're, like, everything stiff, and they really make it an art, and I really appreciate that. So that's something definitely that, you know, Japan style is definitely something I'm interested in.
Okay, so what else can we put on the wrestling bucket list, if you will, things that Natalie is looking to accomplish before her, let's just say within 5 years?
I definitely want to wrestle outside of New York. Trying to think of where I would like to go in 5 years.
I'm just going to put Atlanta on your list for you because, you know, we're down here. So I'm just going to add that to the list just because. Now you can proceed.
Just because. Wait. I have to check out the wrestling scene in Atlanta. I didn't even know there was, like, a wrestling scene. Well, is it Atlanta or, like, outside of Atlanta?
Some of them are outside Atlanta. The one that's right within the heart of it is AWE, Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment, which they have the Roar division. That's where their women wrestle. They're kind of like sister promotion. So that is the one that's within the heart of the city. The rest of them are just outside of it.
Okay, so I have some homework to do then.
Yeah, and I'm going to give myself a free plug here because you can go right onto Women's Pro Wrestling Network on YouTube, and you can see a lot of those matches pertaining to those organizations, Roar Wrestling and UIW and Southern Fried. There are a bunch of them, all of them within and around the city of Atlanta, which features some of the top girls of the area. So, free plug for me.
I'm going to check that out.
Now, proceed. Sorry to get you off track.
Oh, that's okay. Let's see, where do I want to go? And I want to go south of Florida. Shimmer, I think Shimmer is in Florida, if I'm not mistaken.
Shine.
Oh, is it Shine? Where's Shimmer?
Shine's in Florida, Shimmer's Chicago.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. We got two of them, Shine and Shimmer.
That's the promotion's close enough.
So, you know, just basically in 5 years, I just want to broaden the horizons and just go anywhere outside of New York, New Jersey area.
All right. Sounds good. You got to start getting that demo reel together.
Yeah, definitely.
The tape of, well, not actual tape, but the video of your work.
Yeah.
Between now and then. So, all right. I'm expecting to see you pop up and shine somewhere in the near future. I'm going to put my prediction on late 2017. That's my guess right now. If you're wrestling as frequently as you are, and you keep doing what you're doing, maybe a little sooner. If I'm wrong, that's great, but late 2017. Or mid.
Put that up in the universe. There we go.
Putting it in the universe. So there we have it. I'm hoping that pulls out for you. So don't let me down. I'm expecting to see you pop up in Florida.
No, I got my head on. I'm ready to go.
All right. So now let's talk about some of the environment of wrestling as it is today. We're going to get your thoughts on how you perceive the product to be. TNA has hit the reset button all over again. I think this is the third time in 2 years that they've done it. Broadcasting on Pop TV now. The Knockouts division is still kind of being reconstructed just a tad, although they seem pretty solid. What are your impressions of the Knockout division as it stands today with your one of your favorites there? And she just wrestled for the title 2 days ago. Was it 2 days ago? No, yesterday. So
I don't know how I feel about having her in the dollhouse. I will say that. I'm still like a little bit like, I don't know how I feel about this.
you don't know? Okay. Is that because you don't think she fits, or you just kind of still filling where the sink between Kong and the dollhouse comes in?
It's like, I see the dollhouse as like these really girly girls, and I see her as like a powerhouse and just like a lone wolf. Like, she doesn't need anybody. She can do it all on her own. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I took that too. I agree with that assessment. I think Kong, particularly as she was portrayed in the earlier years, she was definitely a monster. She didn't even speak. Now she has an entirely different personality. She's kind of evolved. And to her credit, when I watched the match, she wrestled a lot less monstrous.
Yeah. And I think, didn't she retire and then she came back? I guess she,
from
did
what
she
I,
put out like a retirement letter or something?
The promotion in Japan put out a retirement statement for her wrestling there. And I think she went on to clarify to say that, what is she? I think she's amazing in Japan. And they said Amazing Kong has retired. And then she went on to say, but Awesome Kong still is contracted to TNA.
So
she's still doing, I don't know if she still does any dates and, you know, all that stuff, or she may still take it once in a while. But to the best of my knowledge, as it stands right now, she still has a contract working with TNA, and she may not want to leave because they have announced that Pop has kind of fed them a little bit more money, which means it's a good deal for girls like her and Marty Bell, Mia Yim, and so on and so forth. So she might be in there for a little while.
Yeah, I don't blame her. but last year when she had that feud with Havoc, that was like a big girl's wet dream. Like, I thought that was the most amazing thing ever. And it's so sad that they cut it short.
It didn't really go that long. You're right. It kind of came and it went. I know that I've kind of gone on about this again on my channel that Knockouts Knockdown is basically where that feud ended. But the problem was with that is that there's a lot of people that didn't see it because they can't promote a previously recorded pay-per-view that happened 6-7 months ago.
Yeah.
So they had the big match there in the main event, and it just, you know, it just kind of came and went.
Yeah, last year, I felt like last year was kind of like a transition period, because, like, I know, like, wasn't Angelina Love pregnant, I think?
She's and then, like, now.
Adams. Oh, okay, yeah, and then I think Taryn Terrell's out, right?
Taryn Terrell's out, and we posted
and Brooke
her.
Adams is
her
out.
Press release, and Brooke has left. Haven't been able to.
So they're kind of going through, like, a transition period, and, you know? So yeah. I think it was good, like, the beginning of last year into 2014. And then, you know, they're kind of like trying to, you know, like you said, reconstruct the Knockouts division.
And I hope they can do it. I think they need a nice, strong baby face to come in there. I mean, they've got some really good girls. I got the chance to see Marty Bell work in person. That was, you know, kind of nice to see that. But they got up, but it seems kind of stacked heavy in the opposite direction as far as the new faces go. The good girls, if you will, are kind of the stalwarts of the division, the Velvet Skies, the Madison Rains, the Gail Kims. They've been there for a pretty long time. Not saying that any of them are old. I don't want anybody to get on me. I'm not saying that.
No, they're veterans. They've been there.
They're veterans. So, you know, I'm just saying that I believe, in my opinion, at this point, they probably need to prepare for somebody to come in and take or be groomed for that spot, at least going forward.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I forgot to add Gail Kim as one of the chicks that I watch. I love her.
Yeah, she is amazing. Gail Kim is quite the competitor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you need to find one of the promoters to book that match, too, if they can afford it. Would you take it?
Make that happen. Definitely. It's Gail Kim.
just for no other reason than that, it's Gail Kim. You take it.
Like, if I were to have a match with, like, Awesome Kong, and it was, like, a squash match, and all she did was, like, give me, like, a backwards fist, I'd be like, all right, DM me, I'll take the bump. Let's go.
Okay. So that right there speaks volumes. So it tells me that it's an honor to be there. So that
definitely
works. I'll take that. What's your opinion about the WWE division right now, the women's division, not NXT, the Divas division on the main roster? That sounds good. not when you're saying that. Is it?
Well, no, I had high hopes for the whole Divas Revolution thing, but then it kind of just fell to the wayside.
Yes.
But, I mean, the Divas division is the reason why I was first interested in wrestling. When I was sitting there watching the girls kick ass, I was like, I want to do that. So, you know, I can't totally, they were a reason as to why I started wrestling. So, you know, but now that I know more and now that I know what goes into it and you know, movesets and all this stuff. So, I don't know. I would prefer the Knockouts.
I'm with you. I think they're doing a reasonable job of finally trying to decide a direction to go in. My biggest complaint with the Divas division has been that they did not have any clear direction. And, yes, it did fall. I had very high hopes when they brought all three of them up, and then they just tossed them off into three different groups.
Yeah.
Never knew.
I wasn't really too crazy about that.
I wasn't either, because they didn't have a clear baby face. You know, they didn't have a clear good group, bad group. It was just whoever is in each other's path this week. And then Team Bad got kind of shuffled off to the side, which by proxy put Sasha Banks on the back burner.
You didn't get me started.
and you know, she's far too talented for that to have occurred. And they never seem to make anything important. Like, Sasha Banks beats Nikki Bella on TV, clean in the middle with a tap out, and they never acknowledge it past that point.
Yeah.
It's like it never happened.
Yeah, and I feel like the girls that did come up, they're, like, so talented, and especially Sasha Banks, she's such a talent. And then, you know, I think in WWE you can have, like, 5 movesets. So it was like, you know, she just came off of that awesome, amazing match with Bayley in Brooklyn, and then to, you know, and then just get tossed to the wayside when she came up.
Yeah, I know. It's depressing. It's disappointing, especially for those that are, you know, that found her and see just how good she is. And to those that's listening, I feel your pain, because yes, she was fantastic, and I think that the Iron Woman match that they had is vastly underrated. I thought they told a fantastic story in there personally.
That was great.
You know, some people felt like it didn't live up to the hype. I really thought it did. So you can't work an Iron Man the same way that you would that Brooklyn match, but that's just me. On a side note, could you do an Iron Man?
I think so.
You think so?
Give me like a little bit more time training, and then I'll do it.
Okay, you know, I mean, I'll put all this stuff into the mental database now. So I'm hoping that one of the promoters that's up there is listening, so they can say, "Hey, I heard you said you'd do an Iron Man." So here we go.
I mean, I think that'd be a great David and Goliath story.
Ah,
have an Iron Man match.
If you're doing that with a, I guess, pick me a smaller opponent that you could do that with. Now that we have to start that.
Everybody else? No.
Somebody that you like. Like, okay, I know that regardless of what I do in the ring, this person is so good that we would have a amazing match.
Yeah. It'd have to be, like, I'd have to be the heel, of course. That'd be the only way I'd do it.
You are just determined to be a heel. Why?
I'm so... I just feel like that's what needs to be creative. Like, that's what my creative side goes to. Like, if you tell me to be a face, I'm like, oh, okay. Because even with the modeling, like, if I got booked for something commercial and all I had to do was smile, it's like, I don't want to smile. Can I just be serious and look depressed? It's so easy.
Oh, my goodness.
So I don't know. It's just easier for me to be a heel. And I think it comes along with, I also have, what do they call that? A resting bitch face.
Like, oh, my gosh.
That comes along with it, too.
Oh, wow. Okay. You have got to find some way to work that into a promo somewhere.
I'll add it in there.
That's my personal request. You have to find some way, somehow, to work that into a promo that you do. Someplace. I'm not even sure I've heard that before. A resting bitch face.
Oh yeah, that's like. So that's like when someone sees. Well, someone will see me, and I just look dead serious. But I'm actually like, okay, like nothing's wrong. So when people are like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine." That's what that is. So I just look serious all the time.
Okay. So we have learned something new today.
There you go.
Good for me. You taught me something.
See, now you're gonna go look it up in Urban Dictionary when you get out, when you have a chance.
Good old Urban. That's right. I'm gonna look it up. Absolutely. You know, here's the portion that I get to do the random questions, where they aren't necessarily wrestling related. But you know, we like to toss things around just to keep it nice and fun. Because that's what we do in these interviews. We want fun stuff. We want the interview to go smooth and have a good time. So, Natalie, because, you know, I can't say it with, I can't roll my R's, so I just have to. Name me three songs that are in your musical playlist right now.
I know artists. I'm so bad with names. I'm playing a lot of Bowie, rest in peace Bowie, The Killers and Franz Ferdinand. Those are the three that I was playing in my car on the way here.
Okay, what's the best TV show on today? I do accept streaming television, so it doesn't have to be broadcast TV. If you got something that you're watching on Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, all those work too.
I just was introduced to Shameless on Showtime, and I love that show.
Okay. Shameless. All right.
I'm also a fan of Game of Thrones, Downton Abbey, and Orange is the New Black. What else? What's another nerdy show? Oh, and The Walking Dead. There we go.
All right. You gave me plenty.
Yeah.
that's good stuff. Name something that makes you itch.
Something that makes me itch. Kind of like something that makes me cringe.
No, legitimately.
Oh, something that really makes me itch.
Literally and figuratively, you know, just makes you itch.
I guess like a really bad sweater. I can't really think of anything that makes me itch.
Well, see, I don't have the buzzer to hit right now. You know, I don't have a Family Feud buzzer to say, okay. All right.
No.
Name a movie that you're embarrassed to say that you actually liked.
I'm trying to think.
Oh, come on now.
Oh, I do. Happy Feet. There we go. Happy Feet.
Oh, you're embarrassed to say that you actually like Happy Feet.
Because I don't usually watch cartoon movies, and that's one that I like.
What? You don't watch cartoon movies? How can you not watch cartoon movies? Those are great.
All right, I guess I had to grow up fast when I was younger. So I had to skip the whole cartoons and the Barbie thing.
Well, you know, then I'm going to give you homework. I'm going to say, no, you need to watch Toy Story 3, and then you need to message me back and say, were you able to get through that without tearing up at all?
Is that the one where they're in the daycare?
Yes.
Yeah, I seen that one. That was a little sad. I thought they all died at the end. Or burned, I should say.
You didn't finish watching it?
I think I did. I think I've only seen it once.
Yes. Spoiler for people, yes, they survive. It's sad, but it's not quite that bad, you know.
Yeah, I think I remember now that you know the wheels are turning. I remember.
Okay, all right, okay, I'm good with that. Runway work or print work? Which modeling job was the bigger pain?
Print work, definitely.
Print work? Why?
Yeah. Runway was just a quick, like, you go in, model the dress, and that's it, and print work, they'll fly you out, put you up in a hotel, have you work for a couple of days, and then you go home, and that's it. And the rate is bigger.
Okay. Should NXT be considered a brand all on its own? Or should it just be considered developmental?
I don't know. That's a tough question.
Yes.
That is a tough question.
I like.
I don't really consider it developmental because I don't know. I just feel like NXT is the indies pumped up, you know, times 10.
That's a good way to put it. They do Ring of Honor better than Ring of Honor right now. I mean, that's sad for Ring of Honor, but that's basically what they do. So I don't know. You say it's the indies pumped up times 10. So what's the official answer?
I don't know.
Wrong.
That's like asking me if Puerto Rico should be its own state. Like, I don't know.
Well, you have to have an opinion. But we'll let that go. I don't know what's the answer. I'm going to say I think it should be considered a brand of its own at this point because most people look at it that way. And it sells.
Mm-hmm.
What's another profession that you really want to try?
I know when I was younger, I did want to, when I was younger, I wanted to be a dancer. So that would be something. I always wanted to be a ballerina. So I would try to be a ballerina.
Okay.
I'd be like one big ballerina though.
But think of the news you'd make. You'd make history somewhere.
I'd be the one lifting the girls up.
Well, that's good.
You know, to make it something different.
That's right. You get something different. That's what they want.
Yeah.
That's what draws the cameras out there. You know, are they going to look at all the tiny girls out there, or are they going to see this one big curvaceous one in the middle? There you go.
Yeah.
That's what they need.
And I'll be lifting up the guys too.
You're going to give. I'm expecting one of these guys to come out with an inferiority complex because of you.
I think we already have. I'm kidding.
Oh, see, I think there's a story behind that. I won't dig right now. I won't dig into it at this point. But I'll say that for another day. But here's where we're going to get your wheels turning really hard now.
Okay.
It's called fantasy booking.
Oh, this should be fun.
It is the point. So where you get to book your own angle and or storyline against whoever you would like it to be. So, you know, but we kind of want this in story form. So, Miss Monet, give me your fantasy booking for yourself. Now, I forgot to include that. This is for yourself. You're not booking for somebody else. This is a storyline that you want for you, however you choose to play it out.
Okay. So, See, I've already answered. I'm already ready for this because I was just talking about this last week.
Oh, okay.
So, right now I'm a face, and how I would love to turn into a heel is lose in a hair match. So, I'm the face, but I'm always getting screwed over. So, I guess I would have to have like a partner or something, maybe a tag team. I don't know. But I'm the face that always gets screwed over. Everybody walks over her, and then some point down the line, I'll have like this hair. I'll do something, and I'll have like the ultimate betrayal, and I lose my hair in a hair match because maybe someone cheated or like something like a Montreal screwjob kind of thing, and then I lose my hair, and that's how I become a heel, and then I just run everybody over. That's my fantasy booking.
And you're willing to get your head shaved?
Definitely.
Now, are we talking a short haircut, or are we talking just down to the scalp?
I'm talking like G.I. Jane.
Oh, man.
Kind of. Yes.
So you committed.
Yes, definitely. That's how I would love to turn heel. bring out the true heel.
I'm going to ask now before I even begin to pitch my fantasy booking for you. Please tell me that within this fantasy booking scenario that you would do it, but you would do it for the right amount.
Duh.
Okay. Now, we have to clarify that now. Because,
of course. Yeah, that was, I mean.
Because somebody might come back like, here's $50. Let me shave your head.
No.
Okay. Well, you know,
I need enough that like when I go home and realize what I've done, I can just wipe my tears away with the money that I got.
When you go home and realize it, when you stand in the mirror like, oh, what was I thinking?
When I wake up the next morning, I'm like, oh my God, I don't have any hair.
Well, I'm going to assume that with the money that you paid, that you'll buy a series of hats or something.
And wigs.
And wigs. Just yes. Kind of get you by for a little while, but I mean, just the fact that you're willing to go G.I. Jane, I mean, that's kind of hardcore there, so.
Yeah, and there's nobody else that's bald wrestling, so, it would be different.
I'm trying to think. I don't know of a lot of women that have, well, I know two, and that's, no, okay, yeah, two. That's covering a lot of ground. I mean, that's a lot of ground. Roxy, Laveau, or Nikki Rocks, whichever name that you prefer. I know she had her head shaved. And, man, who's the other one? I am stumped right now.
Is this just in the indies or like anywhere?
On a mainstream level. I mean, just like on TV. I was trying to
think. Oh, like, I mean, Serena, when she was with CM Punk, but I don't know if she really wrestled.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay. I guess that counts because she did cut her hair. She didn't lose it, but she cut it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that counts. There you go. Serena, she did it for TV. Nikki Rocks did it for TV. Holly.
Yeah.
There you go.
Molly Holly.
So, all right. So,
okay.
There you go. I guess you'd be in good company at least.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do it, make sure there's good pay and the cameras available. So, you know, at least the moment can kind of carry you.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So, promoter, well, you know, I can't even put that out there for the promoters because they y'all should at least have some TV available. So, if she's going to do it, if she's going to put herself on the line and all that good stuff like that, at least have some cameras to capture it and
yes.
The cash to back it up.
Yes.
Speaking of that, I got to rewind back for a second. You know, I didn't ask you your willingness to participate in other variations of matches, the hardcores, the last woman standings, the ladder matches, and things like that. Because most people are fairly willing to do it. Every once in a while I hear somebody's like, I would, but I'm not just going to do it just because.
Mm-hmm.
Are you at this point, I mean, you sound pretty gung-ho, but let's go ahead and clarify it. Are you basically game for any match that is tossed in front of you, or do you have, like, okay, this is my cutoff, I'm not doing that?
I think my cutoff would be, like, a cage match, and that'd be about it.
Really? Why? I mean, now that sounds like you're willing to do a hardcore, but you're not willing to do cage? Well,
I don't know how. I mean, I'm a pretty big girl, so me falling from a ladder, I don't know how I feel about that. They were like, Timber! There goes the ring.
I'm pretty sure that you.
So I think the pain of a steel fence would be a little less than, you know, falling from a ladder.
Okay, so you're willing to do the cage. Am I understand that, but not the ladder?
Exactly.
Okay, so no ladder match for you. You don't want to be that girl. You don't want to try to be climbing up.
But they'll stay on the ground. They don't fly.
Well, you know, see, look at that. Now, that sounds great. That right there is a storyline all on its own.
We're just coming up with so many different stories in this interview. I love it.
Well, see, now it's out there in the universe. You can go back and listen to this at any point and just pull that out. Like, hey, look, I already got this story ready to go.
There
you
we
find,
go.
You find your nice small girl that was unable to beat you for weeks and weeks and weeks, and you tell her straight to her face, look, you can't beat me no matter what you do. She tosses out ladder match, and now we see the fear come across the mighty Monet.
Yep, exactly. That's when I turn to the scaredy cat heel.
Hey, look at that.
There you go.
How can you turn down a ladder match under those circumstances? It sounds great. But that's not even what I was going to pitch. Now, what I was going to pitch, I would like to see you play up the modeling thing in the ring to the hilt. I want to see you go out there and actually play it up to the point where it's annoying and almost be overly girly.
You know, when I first started watching NXT, I thought Tyler Breeze was the most annoying person ever.
You're supposed to be.
No, but now he's one of my favorites. So, you know, and he's doing the whole modeling thing, too.
Exactly. I would want to see you do not necessarily your version of that, because again, you have something that you can legitimately draw on. See, they made it, they built that for Tyler. But you have photos, and, you know, it's all over your Facebook and Google. And you can legitimately go out there and say, I was a model, for goodness sake. I don't need this. You can play that up to every model diva-ish scenario that you could possibly do.
And I'm so good, and like, I feel like I'm better playing someone that's opposite of who I really am, and I'm so not a girly girl. Like, I'm such a tomboy a little bit, so, you know, to be someone who I'm not, I think that'd be really easy.
And now I will also play this up for you, and I will weave that into your original fantasy booking. You be annoying, you be overly girly, you be the coward heel. Right up until the point where somebody cuts a chunk of your hair as a trophy.
And we can kind of think of it as like, when Cactus Jack turned into Mick Foley?
Yeah, so you can transition
that.
Right out of it then, because once you're beaten and this girl takes, I'm not even going to say shave your head, let's just say she takes some scissors and she cuts it down to it.
Just Samson's me, and that's it.
And you say that is unacceptable. You're mad. You're pissed off. I'm not beautiful anymore. The next week you come in there and you're like Vader. You're just running over people.
Yep. There we go.
I want
my heel to kind of be like a mixture of like Ronda Rousey, Brock Lesnar, and Bull Nakano. Like a mixture. If they all had a baby and like they spat me out, that's what they get.
Well, see, that would be the story that I would have that births that child.
I feel like we need to cut this part out because somebody's going to take this. We're just spitting out all these good ideas and someone's going to steal this. And then I'm going to be, like, out of ideas.
You're creative, young lady. You're not going to be out of ideas. Now, you'd be sad if somebody stole it. I would feel so bad. I would feel terrible for you. Like, oh, man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to give that up. But if it makes you feel better. Now, I just went through this with Ashley America, and we sat here just shooting out gimmicks because for some reason or another, she likes terrible gimmicks. And she had like five or six of them that were just put on her. And she's like, oh, yeah.
I heard a little bit of the interview, and I heard she was like an Amish manager. I heard that part.
Yeah, I was like, that is so ridiculous. Like, how do you even play an Amish manager?
But that's good, because, like, if one day she makes it to the WWE and Vince is like, I want you to be a pizza delivery person, she can play it, because she's done weirder things.
Yes, she has, but, man, that is just crazy. I was like, ha! Other than wearing the clothes, I was like, what do you do?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was fun. That was, and funny. I'm honestly thinking about just turning it into a segment on this show. Bad gimmick time.
Yeah.
They come up with the worst gimmick for yourself that you could possibly think of that you could play.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I need to try that on you right now. Yeah, bad gimmick. This is the beta version. We're testing it out right now.
Bad gimmick.
Bad gimmick time. Know. What gimmick could we stick on Natalie that would be just
horrible.
That would be campy and horrible.
I can't even think of anything that's bad. We thought of all these things and I can't think of a bad gimmick? Come on.
Yeah, sure you can. It's got to be something in there.
Okay, here we go. Oh, I don't know if it's bad, but I've always thought about having a gimmick where I'm wrestling, and then, like, you just see me losing energy, and then the only way for me to get my energy back up is if I have food.
Oh, my.
If I'm like, somebody bring her a slice of pizza, let's go! And then, here we go. Oh, that's how I went.
Would you be able to wrestle like that? Like, you take a big bite of pizza, then, all right, I'm ready to go again.
I don't remember who it was with, but it was, I want to say it was a Sportatorium. I don't remember. This is like a long, long time ago, like the 70s or 80s. Someone was having, They had a match in the ring, and he took someone's sandwich and bit into it and continued. I don't remember who it was, though. But I would love to do that. That's a bad gimmick we can do.
There you go. I'm going to find you a terrible sport gimmick that you can do. That, like Mrs. Ping Pong or something like that.
Oh, jeez. Or like even a golfer. That'd be really bad, too.
Well, I figured ping pong just because you say, you know, Serena Williams is my hero. And I'm going to be like her. Not realizing that ping pong just isn't quite the same thing.
Yeah, definitely different. That would be really good. That'd be really funny.
It would be terrible. But that's that true. Is why it's bad gimmick. You know, I think I will keep this segment. So there we have it. We have bad gimmicks that have been used. You just suggested, I don't know what we can call that. I don't know what the name of eating refuel chick or something like that.
And so we'll have to think of something.
And this is ping pong. So there we have it. Two terrible gimmicks. Fantasy booking, random questions, all covered within this thing. I think we've covered a lot of ground.
Definitely.
And I would say I should send out homework because it sounds like you've been watching some older stuff to kind of draw some inspiration. And that's good. Good stuff because you can always pull that out, especially now.
Yeah.
Most people wouldn't even remember it.
Yeah.
And I will leave on one other note, see, that now you can take the gimmick of the stomper. And now you can ask me, what is the gimmick of the stomper? Now I'll tell you what the gimmick of the stomper was. The stomper had a manager that stood out there because he was a monster. He was a monster heel. But he also had an inner ear infection. An inner ear infection that bothered him when people made too much noise. So, knowing that, whenever he would start beating on the babyface, they start hollering and yelling. And then the manager would get up and say, don't be making all that noise. Shut up. You're making them hurt. And then they'd get louder.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I don't know if that would work today. You'd have to have some people that are legitimately just into the crowd participation bit. Because that's what that's about. But yes, if Natalie Monet ever gets an inner ear infection, then
we're going to run with it.
That's right. You run with that thing. And with that, we have...
I feel like I would need, like, Paul Heyman for that if I ever get an ear infection.
You need your advocate?
Yes.
You're always working with him. Who's the guy that you was cutting the promo with for La Rosa?
What was that?
Now, who's the guy that you was cutting the promo with at Valkyrie for La Rosa?
That is my partner in Valkyrie, Jay George Estrella.
Okay, now he could do it, couldn't he?
Oh, yeah, he definitely could do it.
Ah, see, there you go. He could get up there and say, hey, y'all, people, just shut up. Don't be making all that noise. You're making my client lose or whatever. He could do that.
He could. He has good mic skills. He can do it.
Yeah, so he sounds like a talented talker. So, yeah, I think he could pull that off.
Mm-hmm.
So there we have it. Now, folks, for those that are listening, if you want to catch Ms. Monet online, be sure to check her out on Facebook under her name. Well, she's actually on all social media platforms under the same name, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. She does it all. She might not enjoy doing it all the time, but but she is there and she's willing to answer your questions. Please do not be overly annoying and
or creepy.
Or creepy, because there's this one guy who keeps dropping, can I get autographed pictures, please? To every female wrestler in the world, you know who you are. You need to leave that alone. So, legitimate people, fans, drop her a line. She likes to hear it. And she's also looking for match suggestions, pay-per-view suggestions, things that can help her up her game on research and just catch up in wrestling in general. And so,
Just in general.
So you may want to try that. I'm going to make the suggestion for WrestleMania 17 and Bound for Glory number 1. Those are my two suggestions right now.
What was the second one you said?
Bound for Glory number 1.
Oh, okay.
The first one.
Yes. I'm halfway through WrestleMania 1, and I was told to watch number 3, too.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. You have to watch 3.
Mm-hmm.
3 is groundbreaking. Now, I only suggest Bound for Glory because it was probably the best performance of Rhino's career, in my view.
I'm a bad student. I don't know if he's coming to Warriors in February. No, I think it's March. I'm not sure, but yes, he's coming to Warriors. Just a little plug.
Okay, well, there you have it. Rhino may be showing up. If you want to find out, I'm pretty sure you will post that on your Facebook.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, we put the post up there so people can get a hold of that. For anybody that listening to this for the first time but hasn't taken the extra measure to subscribe or follow us, please do, because all your support means a lot. You can go on to YouTube and subscribe to the Women's Pro Wrestling Network for all interviews such as this, matches, which I have suggested earlier, and I'm going to suggest to Ms. Monet again that she go on and watch some of these young ladies down here that do their thing. And if you are on Facebook, we are there too. Women's Pro Wrestling Network. That would be wonderful if all of you could like and or subscribe. I want to thank everyone for taking the time to listen to us go back and forth on random questions and fantasy booking and bad gimmicks and all that good stuff, because it's been a blast. We had a good time and we talked about some serious stuff too, addressing body image and the need, the necessity for positive image reinforcement. It is important. It's not something that's made up. Because let me tell you, you know, particularly when you are, not to get too political here, but particularly when you're a minority in this country, it is important, okay? You know, the blaxploitation era was good for a lot of people because they needed to see it. It is absolutely.
That's a whole other subject we can talk about, too. But we don't got the time.
You don't have the time. No. Perhaps for another podcast. So for that, everybody, thank you for coming in, listening. Please catch us on the next one if you want to hear all the behind-the-scenes secrets for WOW when Riot joins you on the next podcast. So that'd be cool. Natalie, say goodnight.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to the WPN's Rights and Wrongs of Pro Wrestling. If you have questions or comments, please contact us via our Facebook or our YouTube channel at the Women's Pro Wrestling Network. If you're new to the WPN, feel free to subscribe to our channel and like our page. We appreciate your support. Thank you again for listening.